And you got me this morning, so hang in there. We'll be done by 12:30. All right, so we're going to be tag teaming for the next couple of months, week to week. We've got the topic this morning, and then we have six more topics after that that we're going to be working through. Basically, what we're wanting to do is to strengthen the Christian families, learn how to provide godly families and grow up godly families within our homes. Last week, Dan started off with the exasperating father and husband and gave us kind of a layout of what we are seeing out in the world, and then brought us to some things that we need to know about the exasperating father and husband, which is not what we want to do. He kind of started off on the negative and some of the sins that are in our life, and this week we're moving forward with some positive things that we want to see as husbands do with our children and our families. And this doesn't really apply only to our children. The topic this morning is going to be a simple guide to family worship. Somebody hit that slide, turn that on for me. I do have some PowerPoint. I don't have note sheets, but we do have some slides that will help us to walk through this. So this is going to be our topic this morning, is a simple guide to family worship. If you don't have children, that's okay. Maybe you have grandchildren, or maybe one day you will have grandchildren, and this will benefit you and your family a great deal. As Dan kind of mentioned last week, that we really get nothing good from our culture, and we must teach our children from the culture that we have within the church, and we need to be faithful to do that, because our families are exposed a great deal to the society that is going on around us, and it's obviously heading in the wrong direction. All you have to do is look at the internet, listen to the news, and you'll see that we're heading down a wrong path, and we as fathers need to take the responsibility to lead our families in the right direction, and we're going to talk about one way of doing that this morning, and we need to know how to raise up our children. So a simple guide to family worship. Some of this stuff is probably not new to you, but we wanted to kind of start here because this is something that we can put into effect immediately, and it's not real difficult to do that. But how many of you have had all the intentions in the world to have family devotions, but when it comes down to it, when you get home after a long day, you're tired, things are hectic at the house, dinner's late, you sit down to eat, and then you feel that, oh, just want to kick back in the chair. And you had all the intentions to have family devotions to start that and lead your family, but in the end, it just kind of goes right out the door. It doesn't happen. The kids end up getting, leaving the table. You run away, or they run away, and you're just like, maybe you do. Maybe you do. The kids run away, and you just think, oh, well, maybe we'll do it tomorrow night. Or maybe we'll start Monday. Isn't that how we do? We'll start Monday. Go to the gym, we start Monday. I'm not sure what the big deal about Monday is, but that's kind of what we do. And we have that tendency very easily because we get in there and we're tired and we just figure, hey, we don't want to do that. Now, I will start off by saying that just because I'm up here teaching on this, I am not the master at this. My son asked me this morning, he said, are you teaching this morning? I said, well, you could say that's more of a rebuke on myself as I'm up here teaching, because I struggle with this as well as probably many of you do. I have those, I want to do this, I have a desire to lead my family in this direction, and we do, but there are a lot of times that I fall away from it and let all the distractions and the worldly things get in the way, and that's not a good thing. So this is up here and has been convicting to me as I've been going through this. And I hope that it is convicting to you if you're not leading your family. And we can begin to do this, all right? But a question is, how many of you really just don't care to lead your family in devotions? Don't raise your hands. We don't want everybody to know that, because really there's a lot of different reasons why we don't lead our families in family worship or family devotions. Those are kind of the same terms, what I'm looking at this morning, devotion. And again, maybe you don't have a child, but maybe you have a wife, and that you are a family. So if you don't have children, you should be leading your wives in the same direction, shepherding your wife just as you do the rest of your family. But there's several reasons maybe that you don't lead your family in family worship. Maybe you don't know how to lead your family in this. You're like, what do I do? How do I lead a family devotions or family worship? Maybe you don't know where to get started. How do I begin to lead my family and family to worship? Or maybe you feel inadequate to lead your family. Maybe lack of knowledge. Maybe you're afraid of the questions that your kids are going to ask you, and they ask you something and you have no idea what to say in response to that. Maybe you're not sure, where do I start? You know, do I start in Numbers? Probably not. All right. Let's be good. We can hit some New Testament. But we're going to talk about some different resources that you already have in your hands, the main one being God's Word. That's the best place to start right there, because that's where lives are going to be changed, is through the Word and through the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Or maybe you're just lazy and you don't care to shepherd your family. Do we care about the families that God has given us? Because if we do, then we really need to step forward and take these and move forward with this. And some of these are legitimate concerns, I guess, but we really have to move past the fear of leading our families, get past the fear of being the leader in those times of family devotion, and just get in the Word. And if you get in the Word, let the Holy Spirit move. He'll help you as you lead your family, and He's going to work in the lives of your children and your wife. If you don't know the answer to a question, so what? Everybody will get stumped at some point. All right, this is God's Word. This is some deep stuff. We don't have all the answers. But if you don't, just let your kids know, I'm not sure about that. Figure out the answer and talk about it at the next time. If you can't find it, then find one of the leaders in the church and ask them. We'll find the answer and you can go back to your children. They've stumped me many times. Just move on and do that. There's nothing wrong with not knowing the answer. We're all growing. We're all learning. And there should be no shame in the fact that we don't know the answers. But there kind of should be some shame in the fact that we are not taking the time to lead our families just because we've got too many things to do. Because really there's nothing more important than leading our families in the way of the Lord and raising them up. At a minimum, we should be in the Word ourselves daily, taking time in the mornings or in the evenings. That kind of depends on your schedule. And right there, you've got material to bring to your children later in the day, because you've got all day to meditate on the things that you read in the Word, and now you can take those things to your children and just talk about that. That's a really easy place to start. The idea of family worship can be both attractive and intimidating, because we hear many testimonies, probably within the church, of how our family worship times are great, they're interacting, have a good time, and we hear that and we get excited about it, but when the time comes, we can be intimidated because we're just overwhelmed at how to get started and what to do. But what I want to do this morning is talk about and address some of the most basic questions concerning the family worship. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just beginning, it's good to never forget the basics, and that's kind of where we're going this morning. So it's my prayer this morning that when we're done, you'll feel more empowered or more bold, more equipped to lead your family in worship. And I pray that you'll find it, that you'll be greatly blessed when you do take time to lead your family in this capacity. Find somebody who leads their family on a regular basis and ask them how they do it, how they find joy in it. That's why we're here, to bounce ideas off one another. Now this picture right here, I just kind of laugh at this, because this is not family worship in my house. All right, they have never been this engaged, all right, and this interested in what I had to say. And if it is in your house, you can come up here and take my place, because we got a lot to learn. I thought that was kind of funny anyway. All right, so what we want to do, first of all, what does the Bible say about worship? Okay, what does the Bible say about family worship? Not just worship, there's a lot there. So I know when you were kids, you had the Bible drills, and they opened up the Bible, and whoever could find the verse first one. Okay, so we're going to do that this morning, all right? First person that can tell me where in the Bible it talks about family worship will win. I have nothing to give you, but you'll be the winner, all right? So you can tell me specifically where it talks about family worship. Sort of. Okay. Good, good. The Shema. Okay, same thing.
Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
All right, very good. Very good. Those are good. Those are very good verses to go to. All right. Now, the problem is, what does that mean exactly? Does it say how to have family devotions? Does it have say how to lead your family in worship at home? You might have an example up here as we come on Sunday, and that's good, and we're going to talk about some of those things. But family worship as we know it, and as we're talking about this morning, is not explicitly commanded in the Bible, but the importance of the home, which is discipleship, is prominent throughout Scripture, which is some of these verses they had just mentioned, and we're going to talk about some of them. In the Old Testament, we as parents are commanded to teach our children throughout the day, even if that training is informal. And as we go through some of these scriptures, you're going to recognize and maybe see some will be new to you maybe. The first one, we mentioned Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7, if you want to turn there or just listen. I'll start in verse 4. O hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you ride, or when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So there we have an instance that we need to be training our children. We need to be raising them up in the Lord. Now, this is not all that we have, obviously. If you'll turn over to Psalm 78, we have some more formal instruction. Is evident in passages such as this. And I'll read verses 1, just 1 through 8 this morning. Psalm 78 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known to our or that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell them, or tell to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to the children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. But keep his commandments that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." Now this psalm continues to tell us a tradition passing on the records of God's marvelous works, and I encourage you to go back and, you know, what are some things we could tell our children? Read the rest of this psalm right here. It's a fantastic account of what God has done. And this is for us. This is for our fathers, this is for grandfathers, to their children, to their grandchildren, and maybe even to your great-grandchildren. You never outgrow spending time with the children and coming to them, because we don't want to just limit our family devotion time to 15 minutes a day, okay? As we saw, we need to be teaching our children all the time. Take every opportunity that we have to teach our children as we're out on hikes, talk about God's creation, as we're sitting in the car with your children alone. How many of you do this? You're sitting in the car with your kid and you drive 20 minutes and you say one or two words to one another. That's a great opportunity right there to have some worship with one another, talking to the Lord. We know this also, that we need to raise up our children. As we turn over to the New Testament, where fathers are given the command, not the mothers, brothers, sisters, but the fathers. You can turn to Ephesians 6. I want to take you to this just in case you have forgotten, because I'm sure that you know this quite well. Dan spoke on it a little bit last week. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Dan talked about that last week. If you missed that, you can get that online. Please listen to that, and it'll catch you up. It says, "But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And it starts off saying, "Fathers." It's our responsibility as fathers to do this and bring our children up. There's a lot in the verse. We don't have time to go through all that. But know that, fathers, we have no excuse. We're told here in Scripture, and we need to be on top of that. Well, you say, what if there is no father? Well, that's okay. Timothy, a disciple of Paul, was discipled by his mother and grandmother in 2 Timothy 2:15. And their impact went beyond mere just example. They had him in the Word and was bringing him up. Paul encouraged Timothy to continue in the faith found in the Scriptures. And these Scriptures, Paul said that Timothy had learned from childhood. You can see that in 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. So family worship is in the Bible, is rooted in the idea of responsibility that we have as fathers. We gather here each week, we worship, we're taught, but parents, especially fathers, are primarily responsible for the spiritual instruction and vitality of our families. And the task is great, there's no doubt about it. There's sacrifices that we have to make as fathers. There's things that we have to give up in our lives to make time to teach our children. And then we have to take even more time to spend with our wives, because we should be doing this as well. Right? It's not just sitting around as the entire family together doing our devotions, but we need to spend some time with our wives as well, helping them to grow in the Lord, bringing them to the Word, spending time in prayer with our wives as well. So there's a lot that we have on our shoulders as Christian men. It's weighty, but remember that God's grace is greater than all of this, and the eternal rewards are beyond anything that this world can offer. And really, nothing we do as parents will get a better return than doing this. So what are the benefits of family worship? What are some benefits of family worship? You guys can talk. I've got some up here, and maybe you'll say them, but that's okay. But what do you guys see as a benefit for family worship? Gathering together as a family, which we don't see a lot of today. If you look at most families, what happens? They go to school, they have athletics, and mom's running around like crazy, and this happens every day, and then they come home, eat dinner, and split again. So we don't see a lot of this. But what are some benefits that we know of for family worship? Devotion time. Family interaction. That's huge, because just like I said, we don't see a lot of that today. It's a great time to have family interaction. Very good. Especially shows their heart when they're out of control, huh? Trying to keep them reined in. Very good. Yes, seeing that God is a priority in our lives. Very good. Anything else? Yeah.
Discipleship. You're actively involved in discipling your children to follow the Lord.
Very good. Discipling your children to follow the Lord. Very, very critical, and that's what we need, and that's what we should desire to do as godly men and godly husbands. So why do we need to have family worship? Well, we just talked about that a little bit. I hope you got that. But it isn't enough just to take our family to church on Sunday mornings. We talked about that as we worship together. You might ask, well, how can I do something in my home that exceeds what takes place here on the Lord's Day? And honestly, we can't replace what we have here on Sunday morning, because we're told that we are to gather together as the church. So that is important, and we need to do that because we need each other in our lives. But to join together in corporate worship is awesome, but we also need to have our family worship. Now, understand this, that our family worship enhances and does not replace the value of what we do here each day on the Lord's Day, gathering together as worship. So we don't want to go to the extreme to go, well, I'm going to start having family worship at home and not come to church, because you're probably going to fail. All right, to be honest with you, if you stop coming to church and think you can do it on your own, you're going down the wrong road. Don Whitney has this to say. He says, having your family in a good Bible teaching local church is critical or crucial to Christian parenting, but this is not enough for conveying to your children all that you want to teach them about God and your beliefs. Moreover, it is unlikely that exposure to the church once or twice a week will impress your children enough with the greatness and glory of God that they will want to pursue Him once they leave the home. This is why family worship is so important, but even more importantly, God deserves to be worshipped daily in our homes by our families. And we want that. We want to worship Him daily in our lives. And we're going to talk about, well, how do we do it daily in our family? Does that mean we have to have family devotions every single day? We'll talk about that a little bit more. But some of the benefits, what are some benefits? All right, first of all, go back there. First of all, family worship brings glory to God. The ultimate goal of family worship is the glory of God, and that really should be in everything that we do. When we are doing something, we really need to ask ourselves, am I bringing glory to God in fill in the blank, whatever you want to do there. Where do we get that? Well, we can see in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, that covers everything else, do all to the glory of God. God is most glorified when His people value Him above all other things. And when we're bringing our family to the Lord together, we are putting value, great value, on God. Family worship is a visible reminder for all in the home that God is worthy of our time, He's worthy of our attention, He's worthy of our affection. And furthermore, family worship glorifies God as His followers are conformed more and more into the image of Christ. And that is the goal, correct? To have our children to become in the image of Christ. So a couple of ways that we bring glory to God. Family worship fosters the centralization of the glory of God in everyone's mind. So when our family worship is faithfully conducted, meaning continually on, the Word of God centralizes the glory of God in everyone's mind. As a family sings together theologically rich songs, as hymns, that we sing those as we study the Word of God, and as a family takes hold of God through prayer, and those are some of the things we're going to talk about we need to do, the greater glory of God rises to prominence in everyone's mind, and it stays there because we're keeping them in the Word. Two, family worship reminds believers that the glory of God is the goal of life and the joy of the saint. So the end goal of all things in the universe is to glorify God, or is the glory of God, and the goal of life is the glory of God. The joy of a Christian is the display of the glory of God. And then three, family worship provides opportunities for God to glorify His name and the salvation of His children as the Word is taught and the gospel is proclaimed. This is such a great joy that we as parents can come and take our children and teach them the Word of God, be actively involved in their lives. Because a family that regularly reads the Word together will thus see the gospel of Christ as He is revealed in Scripture, and their children are going to see that. And God is greatly glorified in the salvation of sinners. And we can be excited when we see our children come to know the Lord and know that we had a part in that. One of God's ordained methods of evangelism is the family, where parents faithfully impart biblical truth to our children. And it is should be such a great joy to do that. And then we have family worship reminds each family member that God is glorified even during hard seasons of life, tragedies, trials, and persecutions. We have all been through difficulties with our children and know that it is tough. Life is filled with suffering, and as a result of the fall, all humans are directly affected by sin, and we're going to have that in our life. Whether a natural disaster strikes or maybe a family tragedy occurs, or persecution for the faith encroaches in our families, family worship can serve as a reminder to each of our children and to ourselves that God is actively involved in all these things, sovereignly reigning over each of these things. If we're not keeping our children in the Word and keeping them active, when things like this happen, there may be more questions in their mind of why these things are happening. But as we keep God's glory in mind and talk of His sovereignty through all these things, when things happen, our kids may have a better understanding of why these things are happening and have a better focus on keeping their mind on the things of the Lord. We know that God walks with His people through hardship. He never abandons us. He never abandons His children. I mean, He never leaves us alone because we know that the Spirit indwells within us. But when the seasons of sorrow and the pain of persecution arise, a family can cling to the comfort of Scriptures as they engage in the worship together. And as we are gathering together as often as we should, then it's easier to bring these things up and talk about these things. And they're going to come more naturally, because the more time we spend with our children in the Word and taking time to have family worship, the more our kids are going to open up, all right? And the more they're going to see that we do take this as something that is important to our lives. Just throw this out there. When we're kind of hit and miss on this devotion type thing and bringing our family to worship, in my mind anyway, I just feel like, oh man, we've got to start again. My kids are just going to think, well, here we go again. He must have heard a sermon and got convicted. And we don't want that. We want to bring glory to God in all that we do and show that our kids that it is important. All right? And then family worship produces joy within the home. Jesus is an unending source of joy. The joy he brings to individuals, he will bring to the families as well who delight in worshiping him together. Whether it's your individual worship or family worship, we have joy and we get joy out of that. And furthermore, the love of Christ will be more easily abound in a home where worship is central in our lives. How many of you, just by raise your hand, have actively had family devotions in your home and it was just awful? Okay, all right, yeah, be honest, yeah. Sometimes it is. Why is that? Because the kids are kind of crazy and it just didn't go as well as you might have wanted it to. But the more we do this, the more you're going to find that it is a joy. There's going to be some rough nights where you have, or maybe even mornings where you have family devotion. It just doesn't go very well. But at the end, when we continue and do this, we're going to see the joy within our homes with our children as we bring them. For us, we usually do ours at the dinner table at night. That's just because I'm up really early and usually out the door before everybody's up. But dinner time for us is kind of the best time to have that. And that's one of our favorite times of the day, because we sit and we have our devotions and then we end up sitting and laughing and cutting up and having a good old time. So you'll find that it does bring joy in the home. There was a 19th century pastor noted, family worship will give true love toward those with whom we have to live. Not exacting a sensitive love, but a merciful love, which excuses and forgives, like that of God himself. Not a proud love, but a humble love, accompanied by a sense of one's own faults and weaknesses. Not a fickle love, but a love unchangeable. And this is the kind of love that produces lasting joy among husbands, among wives, and as we interact with our children, sons and daughters. All right, family worship effects change within the home and within the world as well. Now, we have to understand that any change that is affected, or any change affected, is by the grace of God. But consider there's two things. There's a short-term and long-term impact of family worship. In the short term, your family is going to be spending quality time together and growing closer together as a family. All right, if you're in the Word, we're going to be growing closer together, hopefully because the Spirit and all that love that we just talked about is going to be coming and helping us. So one, basically we're going to have that quality time that a lot of families are missing today. Number two, God may be pleased to work through the prayers of a family that supports the needs of people far and near, because we should be praying together as a family. And there's lots of things that we can be praying for. We support many missionaries within our church, and we can be praying for those. What a blessing it is that we can spend time with our children praying for some of these missionary families that are out there and the work that they're doing, and then we get reports back to see how God has worked in their lives. That's exciting for us. That's exciting for the children to see that God really does answer prayer and that God works through that, and we can be a part of that in the short time. In a sovereign response, missionaries may be sent that we pray for, Bibles may be translated, churches even started out there that we might be praying for, all because God determined to use the prayers of a particular home by a particular family engaged in family worship. And we, if you need some things to pray about with our missionaries, just go downstairs and look at the boards and read some of the letters that they send us on a monthly basis, and you'll have some things to pray for in that. Another short-term impact is that your children are hearing the gospel over and over and over again. They're hearing the gospel within the home, and then they're hearing the gospel when they come to church. So they're getting a lot of that. And there's numerous opportunities to talk to your children about the Lord. You can have your family devotions And then there may be other opportunities during the day or in the evening that you can continue those. I know many times we'll have family devotions, and then maybe days or weeks down the road, one of my kids will bring something up that we talked about that night because they had a question about it, and there's opportunities there. So your kids are listening, and they want to hear and know this. At least I hope they do. So we have opportunities to bring that gospel to them. And again, what a joy it is to know that we're taking a part and bringing the truth of God to them, and seeing them one day hopefully repent. And that's a true blessing. How about just keeping them in the truth? Just keeping them in the truth. Helping them understand the truth from the Word of God and not from what the world is feeding them. Because they're getting a lot of trash out there, and we need to be giving them, bringing them the truth. Dan gave you a great picture of that last week. It's going downhill very rapidly, and we need to take opportunity to bring our children back to the truth and show them where the world is wrong and where God's word is true. We need to stand firm on this. You may not be thinking, well, it's not too bad now. Okay, but think about it down 10 or 15 years down the road. What our kids are going to be facing. We need to help them now prepare their hearts and their minds, and pray the Spirit will be raising them up now to be godly soldiers. All right, so take the long view. That's the short view. We have the long view. From generation to generation, we hear that phrase. Think about the incredible value of family worship in the lives of your children once they are grown. They're going to have children of their own. They're going to have families. And that's going to be a great testimony to them as we stay faithful in raising our children up and having family devotions, so that when they have children, they will have seen the importance of that, see how it had great effects on the home, and hopefully they will follow in those same ways. It's only by the grace of God that I have the family that I have today, because I didn't have this example when I was growing up. We went to church every Sunday. Good old Southern Baptists were there every time the doors were open, but it stopped there. That was it. My mom and dad fought a lot. My dad was drunk all the time, and I took opportunities just to go do whatever I wanted to do. So I didn't have that godly example. So that's why I say it's by the grace of God that I have the family that I do today, and we're at this church that has helped us immensely in our walk with the Lord. So if you had that bad upbringing, you're thinking, I don't know what to do, get into it. Just start, and we're going to talk about some of the ways to do that later. This generation could be different, all right? Just like I've said, my family is definitely different than the rest of my family, because none of my sisters or brothers, or Jennifer's sisters or brothers, none of them are following the Lord or doing anything. So our family is different. We're trying to raise this generation different. As we put our focus on the Lord, they will have heard hundreds of passages read and explained, seen God answer countless prayers, sing many songs of faith, memorize more passages of Scripture than most Christians might do in a lifetime. And this is foundational that will stand the test of time and will bear fruit in generations to come. And there are stories out there where families have had devotion times and they've spent time together, and then the kids, when they went off to college, they kind of fell away from the Lord. And that might happen, but we can pray that God will bring these things that you did as a family, and they'll see that and remember that, and they will come back to the Lord. Any thoughts on family producing joy in the home? Or the benefits? All right, so what should we do during family worship? Throw some ideas out there before I go through my stuff. What do you guys do?
Pray.
Pray. Very important. Drinks coffee? Oh, you bring me some more. Thank you. Tired of listening to me.
Hack. It's all being recorded. I don't like that.
Sorry. All right, so we pray. What else do we do?
Read.
All right. We're going to talk about what to read, because there's a lot of things out there we can read. What else?
Sing,
very good.
Well, we've got a Sunday school that the kids are learning, so we review through what they've learned. church, what homework they should be doing, what scriptures they should be doing, a lot of reviewing.
Yes. Yeah. And that's one of the things I mentioned at the beginning that we already have in our hands. Besides the Word of God, we have a tremendous Sunday school material and things that are sent home with the parents. And if you think, oh, I have nothing to do, take those materials home and go through that. Ask your kids what they're learning, and they'll tell you. Good. That's good. The kids need to memorize these. We need to memorize them. Memorize these verses with your children. All right? When it says, I hide your word in my heart, that's not for just the kids. That's for all of us. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you want children to understand it. Yeah, Rebecca. Very good. Everybody catch that? That's critical, and that takes communication between the husband and wife, which is important. Okay. So just from, yeah, Amy? Right. Yes. Very good. Lots of good ideas, and I ask that because there's no, Bible doesn't tell you what to do. It doesn't tell you, you have to sit, you have to read passages, then you have to pray, then you have to sing, then you have to memorize scripture. It doesn't tell us that. There's lots of different things, and there's lots of good books out there on family worship and ideas that you can get. But we're going to talk about some of these more in depth, and if some things pop up as we're going through this, raise your hand and we'll talk about that. So what should we do during family worship? Well, the consistent refrain of those who have made it a habit of doing family worship, first thing we need to remember is to keep it simple. All right? It does not have to be an hour and a half long worship service in your home. All right? With a well thought out sermon to give your children. All right? If you want to do that, good luck. Especially with the younger children. All right? Keep it simple. All right, what's a good time frame? How long do y'all do devotions? 10 minutes? 15 minutes? 15, 20? That's good. All right, it doesn't have to be real long. Okay, again, especially if you have them little children who have been playing all day, and all of a sudden you say, come on, children, let's sit around and we're going to study the Word together. And they're like, oh, yeah? And they just get antsy. All right? But when they're younger, some of the things like Amy said, you don't have to stick to just reading the Word and talking about that truth. Act some things out. Get into some of the Bible stories and let the kids act these things out and talk to them. Make it fun. Make it on their level, all right? Now, when you have kids who's us, we've got a kid who's 7, I think, youngest, 7, something like that. And then my oldest is 15, 16. That's a big jump. So we do have to kind of be a little bit creative in doing that, because the ages are different, all right? We don't need to be talking deep theology with our 7-year-old. They're going to get lost and get bored real quick. But yet, our older ones, they might be able to handle some of that. So we have to be a little bit creative in how we do that and bring that to them, all right? But just keep it simple. All right, so one thing that we can do is read, all right? Well, I don't know what to read. Well, the first thing that you can read, if you have nothing else, is the Word, all right? Read a portion of Scripture of the Word together, either chapter by chapter or a section provided possibly in a devotional guide that you may have that talks about specific Scripture. Children are present. You can allow them to read, all right? Some different things you can do, let them read. And like Glenn said, if you come across a difficult passage, you're going to have to maybe explain some of that. So this is where you come in. I wouldn't take your kids to some deep theological section of the Bible that you're not quite sure about, because that's when those questions will come to you and you'll be like, oh. So kind of have an idea of what you're reading before you take that to them, so you don't put yourself in that situation. All right? So you want to read the word, examine it, what the passage say, what does it say for now? And third, how does the passage apply to us as individuals, as a church, as a family? Help them to understand that and put some practical things to that. Now, you don't just have to read the Bible, all right? We're not saying that you have to only read the Bible when you meet with your family. There's other things that you can read to your children. I start off with saying the Word because that's the most important thing that we can read to our children is the Word of God. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is what's going to change their hearts, all right, and bring you guys together. But we don't have to limit our times together to the Bible. Go over a message, all right? You hear a message here every Sunday morning. Take some time during the week and talk about that. Don't walk out the door and forget it. Take opportunity to take some of the points he talked about and talk about them, all right? That's one thing you can do. Go over the message, reinforce what Dan preached on. There's lots of children's storybooks that you can go to and read. I know a lot of families in the church have gone through Pilgrim's Progress, taking some time and took them a little while to get through that, but they lots of great things within that book, all right? So you can go through that. There's lots of things that you read. I wouldn't say spend all your time on Pilgrim's Progress and nothing else, okay? You can mix it up. Spend one day and read through a chapter of a book. The next day, maybe read through Pilgrim's Progress. Another day, go through and talk about the children's Sunday school lesson. Lots of different things that you can read. If you do have maybe some storybooks or little devotional things, read through them maybe prior to taking them to your children. All right, I know I've taken some devotional books, and as I was reading, had to chop and change a few things because you get to it and you realize it's not quite going in the right direction you want it to. And you got to be quick on the fly unless you've kind of read through it a little bit before. So know what you're bringing to your children as well. So read. Take some time and read with your children. Let some of your older kids read. Let some of your younger kids read if they can. And then talk about that. You want to get everybody engaged. Don't just, you as the father, you don't have to be the only one who's doing everything within there. All right, another thing we can do is pray. All right, there's no prescription set for prayer and family worship. If you have a guy that encourages specific areas of prayer, then you can do that, follow that, that's good. Another way you can pray through the acronym ACTS, voicing prayers of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. All right, praying for needs of people. You have needs in your family, you have needs within the church that people know about. You may even want to maintain a prayer journal with your family. Take that journal, and as you pray, put prayer requests down, and as God answers those prayers, you can mark those off, and your family can go back and see how the Lord is working, again, in prayer in the lives of your church, family members, whatever it may be, all right? Another thing that you can do to add to the reading is maybe go through and read through the book of Psalms and pray through those scriptures. Take a little section of Psalm 1, you could take that and spend some time praying through that. If you're not sure exactly what to pray for, just pray through the Psalms. And that's a great chance to bring your kids to the Word and then pray through that. And you can incorporate that into some of your other praying that you guys do as well. All right. And again, fathers, don't take the whole time and just hog all the praying time. Let your kids pray some. All right. You'll find it's a blessing to listen to some of your little kids pray. All right. It's fun, it's cute, but it's also helping them, one, to not be afraid to pray in front of others, all right? Two, they're just getting exposed to praying, all right? And it just, again, allows everybody to be involved so they're not just listening to you for the whole time. So we want to pray, all right? And then, I'm falling behind. Then we want to sing. Right? I'm going to throw this in there. I like singing, obviously. Sing together as a family. There are a lot of songs suggested in devotional books. If you find a devotional book, a lot of times they have songs that they suggest that you can sing. If you're like, I have no idea what to sing, well, just sing what that does. Or sing what the book tells you to do. All right? If somebody in your family has musical gifts, then allow them to lead. Okay? Because you as the father, I know some of you out there are thinking, I'm not singing. All right, because you're just thinking, I don't sing well. Well, that's okay. You're in the privacy of your own home. All right? Nobody's going to tell on you. So take some time and sing. There's some wonderful songs out there. These kids are learning a song right now. I won't spoil it, but as you go through it and listen to the verses, every single verse is brought from Scripture. And we're going to sing that here in just a few weeks. Yeah, Matt?
Taking a step back to prayer.
Yeah.
One thing to do is good to do is make a list of things to pray for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we split it up and we talked about two things. I want you guys to give me two things you can be thankful for and two things that you can pray for, have other people pray for you. And then I made the boys pick one of the boys to pray those for those things. So making a list, pray for the missionaries, pray for all the stuff, and then you as the adult can come in and kind of clean up after that.
Yeah.
So let them get a few things they discuss.
Okay. Sure. Good. Thank you. All right. So on singing, sing with your family. You don't have to do that every time. But a lot. Yeah, go ahead.
Say, a lot of resources about songs that you can find that kids like.
The children's type songs. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. And don't be afraid. Yeah. That'll just help you out when you have the background on the voices singing with you. They keep you on track and it might drown daddy out. So you can use those. So the fighter verse, if you don't have that app, get it. It's, I don't know, $4, $5, something like that. And it's got all those verses on there. You can get Sovereign Grace Music. They have several kid CDs. Matter of fact, they're coming out with a brand new kid CD real soon, I believe. What are some other ones, Matt?
Seeds.
Seeds, all right.
Seeds Family Worship.
Seeds Family Worship. So, I think so. Did they do the fighter app? They're the fighter app, so they've got that. Yeah, Desiring God. That's what I thought. So there's lots of resources out there, and there is some fantastic music, all right? And some of your older kids may need some fantastic music in their lives because of some of the other stuff they're listening to is not so fantastic. So bring some good music to them. But don't be afraid to do that. We're told in the Scripture to sing together to the Lord and make a joyful noise. Didn't say anything about beautiful, all right? Make a joyful noise. All right, last thing that we can do that I've got here anyway, as you've heard, there's lots of things that we can do as a family together, but the last thing that we can do, and is really great, is to memorize Scripture together, all right? Whether you're talking about just a verse that you've gone over, maybe spend a week on a verse. Say, that's not a lot. Well, that's 52 verses a year. How many verses do you have up here right now? All right. What's that?
Not enough.
Not enough. Okay, good answer. Me neither. All right. So you take 52 verses a year. Maybe some are short and you can do two a week and you get more. All right. So it doesn't sound like a lot, one verse a week, but if you add those up, they're going to be storing up inside. So pick some verses, whether it's an individual verse or maybe you want to have some older kids and they're really smart and they can do a whole chapter and you can help them or they'll help you maybe to memorize a whole chapter. But always, if you're going to do this, make sure they understand the verse, all right? Make sure they understand the verse that they're memorizing so they're not just memorizing some words, but that they understand what that verse means and they can use that in their lives. So when they do come against some temptations or trials or something, that verse will pop up in their head and they'll know that that is applicable for that. So memorize some verses with them, all right? And you, if you're not sure where to start, grab your bulletin and then on the back or middle somewhere in there, it says memory verse. Proverbs 1:10, you can start with that because that's the verse that the kids are memorizing this week. And you can start right there and it's short, okay? So we won't throw a big one at you right away. You can start with a short one. All right. All right, so any other thoughts on some suggestions on what to do? Again, there's no set. I know a frequently asked question, and I've got several here, but we're running out of time. But a frequently asked question is, well, what time of the day is best? Okay, that's totally up to your family, whatever fits you best, all right? How many times should we have family devotions together? I would say as many times as possible, because you got more opportunity to bring your kids to that truth more. But you don't have to have a 7 days a week. Ideally, that's probably not going to happen, all right? Because you've got Sundays, which are hectic for us, and we're in the Word here together worshiping. Wednesdays for us are kind of out the door because everybody's flying to eat dinner and get to church and do their activities. So there's other things in our lives that may come up. But that kind of makes it even more important on the days that you don't have a lot going on that you take time then to spend in the Word with your children or doing some type of activity to help get your kids continuing in the Word. So there is no set answer on how often should we have family worship. But we do know that our lives should be centered around worship of our Lord so we can take opportunities outside of our devotion time together and take the opportunities as we're walking, standing, sitting, lying down, and teach these things to our children, all right? But fathers, it's our responsibility to do that, all right? And like I said, I'm preaching to myself as well. We have to take the lead on this, all right? So wives, you can encourage us, pray for us that we would be faithful in doing that, and hold us accountable to that. Lovingly suggest to us if we're slacking off, all right? And let's just stay in the Word. Let's keep our children there and bring them up in the Lord like we are commanded in Scripture. All right, any other thoughts or questions?
Uh-huh. And you really want to make sure that your heart is to delight in the Lord.
Sure.
Together. Because I think I've seen that just in our family, that sometimes it's just like you're more focused on, well, this kid won't sit down. And this, and it's not really about, like, let's talk about the Lord and how great and wonderful he is. What you learned about in Sunday school, we can see that. And mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's easy to do because I know I have that mindset. It's time for devotions, and kids are going crazy, and you're getting frustrated. So, yeah, I see that. Rebecca?
I would say, too, that training your kids to sit and listen to worship is part of worship. Mm-hmm. So to realize that if it feels like the whole time was just distracting because the kids wouldn't sit, you're still honoring the Lord training your kids. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And amazingly enough, your kids would be going crazy and you're trying to talk and you think they ain't getting nothing out of it. And then later on, they're going to ask you a question. You're going to be like, oh, they were listening. So they do listen. So don't totally just go off subject and focus on the craziness. Try to contain your children where they need to be. But they're listening because they'll bring some stuff up later. Lance?
Mm-hmm. Ideally, you have everybody together, but sometimes that works because their level is different than
sure.
Level,
yeah, you don't want to bore the older ones with the little bitty stuff, but you don't want to bore the young ones with stuff that's way over their heads. So, all right, any other thoughts? So, the big question. Is are you a family who will worship together? Are you a family who will worship together, who will take time to do that? Or are you going to be lazy and just kind of sit back and hope that the church does a good job in raising up your children? It's our responsibility, so let's get on that and do these devotions and share things with one another. There's a lot more things to talk about with family worship. So share with one another, hold each other accountable, ask how we're doing with one another, men. Get into their lives and pry a little bit, and let's hold each other accountable in doing these things. All right, let me pray and we'll be out of here. Father, we thank you for your word that you have given us, and we thank you that we have the awesome privilege as husbands and fathers to bring our family to the truth that you have given us. I pray that we would understand the importance of shepherding and leading our family, that we would understand that we need to be obedient to your word and raising our family and doing the things that you have called us to do. And I pray that we would be faithful in doing that. And when we do fall away, Lord, that we would have conviction brought upon us, that we might get back to where we need to be with our families. Help us not be intimidated, but just take what we know and work with that, Father. And we know that you will grow us in these things and that we will become more accustomed to doing this. We'll feel more comfortable in bringing our family to the Word. Help us to also to pray with our family. So important to see that, and that the kids see the example of these things in our lives so that they will continue to do them, Lord, when they do leave our homes one day. And just pray that as we lead our families, that we would see the fruit immediately and also see the fruit, Father, as our children one day have families of their own and the husbands are leading their families in a godly way, Father. We thank you for this day again, and we look forward to our time of worship again tonight. And we ask this in your name. Amen.